Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Red alert on the supply chain as the trucking company Yellow halts operations. I'm David Brancaccio in Washington, D.C. today. One of the nation's biggest trucking companies has shut down and has told its union it has filed for bankruptcy. This is Yellow, a nearly century-old firm with the orangey banner on the trucks. Yellow had been moving freight for companies small and very large, including Walmart and Home Depot. Marketplace's Nova Safo is following this.
The Teamsters Union, which represents more than 20,000 workers at Yellow, says the company ceased operations and is filing for bankruptcy. Yellow has not responded to a request for comment. But the company has said that it is laden with about $1.3 billion in debt, which it has an imminent need to refinance. That includes a $700 million pandemic relief loan from the U.S. government provided during the Trump administration. Yellow reported a narrow loss in the first quarter of this year, and even last year at the same time, when trucking companies couldn't keep up with soaring demand, the company barely made a profit. Last month, it sued the Teamsters, alleging the union blocked the company's restructuring efforts, which it said were necessary to compete against non-union carriers. The Teamsters criticized the company's management. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
We're at the end of what's on track to be the hottest month on Earth ever recorded. Yet, countries are still burning a lot of coal, fueling climate change. A new report from the International Energy Agency shows global demand for coal reached a record level in 2022. India and China continue to use more coal, unlike the U.S., Marketplace's Henry Epp reports.
Countries like India and China rely on coal for two big reasons, says Sonia Carley, a professor of energy policy at the University of Pennsylvania. It's usually cheap and available.
And so as these countries industrialize and develop, coal is typically one of the first choice energy options that are pursued.
Wind and solar energy is getting less expensive, but Seth Feaster, an analyst with the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis, says renewables aren't enough to meet China's demand.
Despite being a world leader in the amount of wind and solar capacity that they're installing, coal is still rising. They haven't reached a tipping point yet.
Unlike in the U.S., where coal use continues to fall, that's in part because, unlike China, our overall energy demand has been pretty stagnant, Feaster says.
And so what that's meant over the last 15 years or so is that all the new power generated by wind and solar is replacing something else.
Namely, coal. Globally, the International Energy Agency predicts coal demand will remain flat this year and next. But that's a big problem, says Daniel Cohan, an associate professor of environmental engineering at Rice University.
Any year that we don't see coal use decline dramatically is another year that we're falling behind the pace of what needs to happen for climate goals.
Maybe, he says, all the extreme weather we've seen this summer might push countries to act faster to find alternatives. I'm Henry Epp for Marketplace.
Yet there's news just now that the British government will permit hundreds of new oil and gas projects in the North Sea. The United Nations and environmental groups had called for an end to these new leases for fossil fuel production. Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Some prominent Republicans are switching gears on some notable pieces of economic policy. These are social conservatives and sticking to it, but they're moving away from the party's traditional laissez-faire take on business and embracing ideas from a new group called American Compass. One of these ideas, allowing student loans to be wiped away during bankruptcy, Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Orrin Cass is not your father's Republican, especially when he's talking about how student loan debt is treated in bankruptcy.
We tried to set it aside and say, this is special and thou shalt forever be buried under any debt you take on.
Cass sounds like a Democrat there, but he was an advisor in Mitt Romney's 2012 presidential campaign. In 2020, he founded American Compass, a think tank dedicated to encouraging Republicans to take a new look at capitalism. For example, treating student loans like any other debt and allowing them to be discharged during bankruptcy. Right now, they can't be, and that was disastrous for 47-year-old Angel Bracey. She enrolled at the University of Phoenix, a for-profit school majoring in human resources, while working full-time. Then she lost her job and had to drop out.
It's frustrating to have that debt and not have something to show for it.
To have your student loan debt discharged by a judge, you have to prove it's causing you undue hardship. Bracey didn't meet that standard, even though her student debt is greater than her yearly income. It's virtually impossible for anyone to meet that standard, which led the Justice Department to simplify it last year. Bipartisan Senate legislation to overhaul the bankruptcy code on student loans didn't go anywhere 2 years ago, but Orrin Cass calls it a step in the right direction.
That really strikes the sweet spot of how conservatives would want to approach this sort of issue.
Maybe, even Cass admits.
The House is a tough nut to crack on any policy initiative these days.
Especially when lobbyists from universities and the student loan business show up. According to the campaign finance tracking site Open Secrets, three companies that collect on or service student loans spent more than $9 million lobbying Congress since 2021. Scott Buchanan heads their trade group, the Student Loan Servicing Alliance. He's wondering,
how do we create a product that makes sense for borrowers, meets them where they are, but also that we don't create potential for issues where people abuse the system?
Orrin Cass at American Compass doesn't think student borrowers would do that.
Bankruptcy isn't some get-out-of-jail-free card. Bankruptcy is an incredibly painful process.
But the financial industry spent years lobbying to make bankruptcy law tougher on student debtors, and it's not in a hurry to change things. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And in Washington, D.C. today, I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.